I will turn it over to Dr. Graham for the superintendent's update.
So summer is the slow time of year, right? If you're taking a look throughout the school district, you'll see that there are construction projects taking place at just about every school, something that I think hasn't happened in Sachem for quite some time. So while we're anxious about the timeline of the construction, we're excited that we're able to do the projects that you all see taking place. So currently we have 19 projects going on. We have 16 security vestibules being built, at one at each of our schools and then one here at district office. We have the capital projects that were approved in the 2018 budget, and those are the partial roof replacement at Waverly, the pump and pool filter system at High School North, and then we have the back here, we have the fuel tanks, the underground fuel tanks for our transportation department that are being replaced. And we also have the additional 6 school buses that we've been on a cycle now of purchasing for the beginning of school as we look to replenish our fleet. So we have all of those things taking place right now. The vestibules, you'll see in some schools, they're just about finished. In other schools, they were a little bit more elaborate projects that required a build out with some cement footings and frames for those. So those are being built. And then hopefully very soon we'll have the visitor management systems put in as well. And then we have a number of projects that are taking place from our own crews, our in-house maintenance and custodial team. We have a renovation and expansion of the nurse's office at North. We have the renovation and relocation of the nurse's office suite and faculty lounge at Sagamore. And we want to certainly thank our team, our maintenance team, and our custodial team for their work on that. And then we have a couple of smaller projects that are taking place, sidewalks and curbing at some of the schools, gym floor restorations at Sagamore and Nokomis, gym floor resealing at all of our other buildings, stage refinishing at all of our elementary buildings, floor tile replacements at multiple buildings, a music lab installation at both High School North and High School East, and asphalt work at a whole bunch of locations. And I know there was probably some confusion because we had in the approval for the 1920 budget the capital projects that included the lockers at Seneca and Sagamore, and then the auditoriums at those schools. So when we do capital work, we're on a year's lag for that work. So once the voters approve the project, we then submit to the state. There's a lag in the approval. Once we have that approval, then we have to look for time during the school year in which that construction will actually get done. So the projects going on that are capital right now, those are the last year's projects, and the ones that the voters approved, those will take place starting toward the end of this year, right? Yeah. So we have a lot going on in the school district, and so while it seems quiet for some, it's not quiet, certainly not for Mr. O'Keefe's office and at all the buildings. So that's the majority of my update. The next part of my update today is we've invited Mr. Dednick and Mr. O'Keefe to come in and give a presentation on our food services program. So I'm going to invite the two of them to the microphone now.
Can I have a question? Dr. Graham, the vestibules, are they going to be completed in all the buildings prior to the start of school?
Our hope is that they will be. Unfortunately, when you do construction, there are unintended variables. And while we believe that they will be, and Mr. O'Keefe is continuing to work with all of the vendors involved in those installation projects and with our technology department, potentially there could be a situation where one or some are not completed, and we would work to get them done as quickly as possible.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Allison, you've got it's coming on?
Yes.
Typically, I do all the talking, but I'm going to actually step back out of the spotlight tonight, and I'm going to let my very capable colleague, Ms. Adenick, our Director of Food Services, take over and go through this presentation for you. Just an update on the program itself, a recap of an audit that we had recently from State Education Department, some of the challenges the department's having, as well as a recommendation of the Board of Education for 1920. So without further ado.
If you could do that, that would be good. And so I can use this for my speaker.
All right.
Good evening. I'm Lisa Zdenek. I am the Director of Food Services here. I've been here a little over 3 years. I am a registered dietitian, and I am a certified school nutrition specialist. As John said, we're going to just go over some information and some updates and answer some questions that we get most often from parents. and other interested parties. We are a proud partner in the National School Lunch Program. We say partner because we work closely with the USDA and the State Department of Education. School lunch was established in 1946 by Harry Truman to ensure nutritionally balanced low-cost meals in schools. Research demonstrates, as all of you know, that well-nourished students are better learners, and participation in school breakfast and lunch programs play a role in supporting the overall student health and academic achievement. So this is a school lunch. This is a picture of what a school lunch is all about. School lunch meets strict nutrition standards, including limits on calories, sodium, and unhealthy fats. A school lunch is made up of, as you can see here, five components. It's lean proteins, whole grains, fruits, vegetables, and milk. Students must take a fruit or a vegetable with each meal. Otherwise, we cannot count it as a complete meal. Sachem served over 1.1 million meals last year.
Pretty amazing.
So federal and state guidelines mandate the contents of a healthy meal. I get asked quite often, why can't we do healthy meals? So I ask, what makes up a healthy meal? So if you think about it, a lot of people will say that it's within an appropriate calorie range, that it's low fat, low sodium, that it has whole grains, that it has fruits and vegetables. And our meals here meet all of these criteria each and every day with each and every meal. So as I stated, all of our meals and snacks here meet these nutritional guidelines. We were recently did complete our review. They looked at all of our compliance with our nutrition regulations, with the administrative protocols, and with procurement procedures. And there were no significant findings, so we were recertified. This is a review that happens every 3 years. As I stated, I am a school nutrition specialist, certified school nutrition specialist. This is done through the National School Nutrition Association. And this is it's an exam that's given in Albany that certifies that I am at a certain level of knowledge of school nutrition. So I'm pretty proud of that fact. There's only six on Long Island. And one of the frequently asked questions, do we only serve canned and processed foods? It may look that way, but we definitely do not. We prepare, the cooks here prepare lots of meals from scratch. We purchase fresh, seasonal local produce whenever we can. Our staff here make soup, sauces, pizza, some entrees, salads, pasta dishes. So they do, whenever time allows, they will cook from scratch. Unfortunately, time is not on our side. One of the things we're doing this year, we're bringing in New York State certified foods. This is an initiative from the State Education Department where we're going to get additional reimbursement if we can certify that 30% of our lunch foods are purchased from certified New York State sources. And another thing I'm going to try this year, manufacturers have started to do some kind of a clean label, what they're calling a clean label, which is fewer ingredients and no preservatives. So we're bringing in a few of those items. They are a little more expensive, but we think that we are going to be able to work well with the kids. Today's children are much more savvy, and they're looking for things like this. All right. We do offer a variety of freshly made entrees, salads, and sandwiches every day. All of our food is purchased from local and domestic sources as required by the State Ed Department. This is some of the meals here. These are salads made at Hiawatha. This is a vegetable bar at Cayuga. And this is a lunch of popcorn chicken that was served at North. I get asked questions about if we can work with students with medical issues or food allergies. And we absolutely do. From time to time, I'll have parents or nurses call me, and if there's a medically necessary diet, we can work with the children and make sure that they're fed. We keep a list of carbohydrate counts for our most popular meals. This list can be found on the Food Service Department page of the Sachem website, along with a list of allergens and all the foods that we serve. That's updated every year as new foods come in, and that's also on the Food Service Department page. I also get asked about junk food. Does Sachem sell a lot of junk food? And we do sell snacks, but I wouldn't call them junk food. So all of our snacks are compliant. They have to meet the standards from state ed. And they also have to be in compliant with the Smart Snacks Calculator, which comes from the Alliance for a Healthier Generation. Every snack that we sell here does have one of these compliance certificates. We run all the snacks through this calculator, and they're kept actually on site in the school. So if anybody needs to come in and take a look, those are there. And as far as drinks, elementary schools and middle schools are only permitted to sell milk, water, and 100% juice, no juice drinks. And the high schools are allowed to sell that in addition to that, low-calorie, caffeine-free beverages. So school meals are especially important to some students. One out of five U.S. households with children report food insecurity. The latest data from Long Island Care shows that the use of food pantries is up by over 19% over the last year on Long Island. And out of that, 40% of those homes that utilize food pantries have children under the age of 18. So in help of that, and our 24% of all SACHM students receive free or reduced lunch here, we've simplified this process. So this that you're looking at is a page on the Food Service Department website. This blue button that's there is an online application button. Families can go right through this website, through our page to this website, and apply for their free lunch there. It's much more user-friendly. It increases the confidentiality for the families. It's available in English and Spanish. And new for this year, the Department of Education has taken away the 25-cent fee for reduced lunch, and they're going to provide that in the reimbursement to SACHM. One of the other things we get asked a lot is about being eco-friendly. So in an effort to become more environmentally conscious and to comply with the new Suffolk County law, we are eliminating all styrofoam products and plastic straws. This is a tray we've been using at Tamarack for a year now. It holds up well. It's made in the USA. It's made from recycled paper, and it is a biodegradable tray. Straws, hot cups, and soup bowls are also going to be switched to a paper product. All right, challenges. So we're definitely facing some challenges. This styrofoam and plastic straw ban is going to come at a cost, approximately $75,000 for the year, we're estimating. Annual increases in the minimum wage are impacting our salary costs. Our food costs have remained fairly static over the last 3 years. Our labor cost has gone up 5% in the 3 years that I've been here. There is a lot of unpaid student debt that is due to the anti-shaming law. It's due to misinformation out there for parents, and I've gotten this often. Parents don't think that they have to pay that money back, but they do, and our efforts are continuing. So we have, at the end of 18-19, we had $14,000 in unpaid student debt. Prior to this anti-shaming law, our balance at the end of the year that was owed from families was only about $3,500. So we are continuing to try to recover these funds. As of this afternoon, it was $9,127 that was still remaining to be collected.
Yeah, and some of the efforts that we use electronic phone calls. So every Wednesday night, a family that's $5 or more in arrears gets an automated message at 7 p.m., goes out to every house, and it goes out weekly. The cooks in every building call the families. And once we get to the point where, you know, some people do rack up more than $100 worth of debt, then we have principals start to send out template letters on their letterhead, which seems to help a bit. Basically, the governor took away a lot of our teeth. You know, we can't use collection agencies. We can't do anything necessarily to the parents. Unfortunately, the only tools that the state left for us to go after families that decide that they don't want to pay, because no longer can we offer an alternative meal. In the past, if a child came up and didn't have any money and they were in arrears more than X number of dollars by board policy, there was the policy of providing the child either with a cheese sandwich or a peanut butter sandwich or some alternate meal as opposed to the meal that you have. You cannot do that anymore. Child gets to the end of the line. He's got the full meal. He owes us $50. It doesn't matter. That child still needs to leave. You just rack up the debt and you keep going. The only thing that we can really hold over children would be taking away things, which, you know, becomes a really difficult situation. You know, do you want to take away field trips? Do you want to take away a child's right to walk at graduation? Do you want to keep them from, you know, going to a moving up ceremony? You know, those are the only things you can really hold over a parrot. And like with the seniors this year, we noticed, because we were sending out the letters, at the last minute there was a scramble of a lot of seniors running in with their money, thinking that that's what we were going to do, even though that was something that's never even been spoken about in the building. But there's very little that we can do with families other than just calling, writing, and going over and over and over again. And yes, $14,000 is a lot of money. Obviously, we've got it down now below $10,000. But at the end, if those fees aren't paid, the general fund does need to make up those monies to the cafeteria fund. We're not allowed to roll that debt year to year, which we were before in the past. So in the past, if a child owed, say, $25 at the end of the year, first day of school, the child still owed $25. Now, before the first day of school, you have to eliminate last year's debt. And there are parents out there that are basically promoting the fact that they think that, well, the governor said we don't have to pay, and they can't shame us, and they can't keep us from having a meal. So there are individuals that are not sending their children with food or money to pay for food. So this sort of leads us to our next slide, which is a recommendation of the board. Like Lisa mentioned, we haven't changed the price of lunch since September of 2014. Currently, our lunch prices are $2.20 for elementary schools and $2.50 for the secondary buildings. Survey of all of our surrounding districts obviously came up with the average of 260 for elementary, 286. You know, just knowing where we ended up financially this year, where we've been trending over the last few years, knowing that we have these increased costs both with minimum wage and the styrofoam ban, we're going to recommend to the board for you to consider a 25-cent increase for lunch at elementary and secondary schools. We've projected out that we believe that should cover the program in full without any need for taxpayer support. In other words, no transfers from the general fund to support the program. Because a school lunch program, you have to remember, has to be self-sufficient. And it's not designed to make money for the district or lose money. It's supposed to break even. And actually, by law and statute, the program can make no more in surplus than 3 months' worth of actual expenditures. So the program's about a $5 million program. That means at the end of the year, you shouldn't finish with more than $1.5 million in surplus, and you can't grow that from year to year. That's the maximum. That's the cap. So I think we had sent some recent information to the board just taking a snapshot of the last 5 years. Over the last 5 years, we've basically broke even. We think we have $140,000 surplus. But based on the projection with the dollar per hour increase in minimum wage next year, the following year, and the year after, we believe we're going to need that quarter. Now, when we look at our breakfast program, right now we don't think that increase will be necessary. We can hold those prices static at this time. Any questions from the board on that?
So, thank you. Our Sachem Food Service is made up of 125 ladies. That includes our cooks, our food service workers, our delivery driver, our office staff. They're all delighted to come to work. Many of them have been here over 20 years, and they still love to come to work. And there's my information. I welcome any phone calls to discuss the program or any questions. My information is on the webpage, and I'm happy to speak to parents at any time.
Lisa, I just have one quick question. With switching over to the paper straws, I know some of my friends that have the gluten allergy, there are sometimes paper straws have gluten in them. Is that going to be something that we could look into prior to the start of school?
I can definitely look into that. I haven't been made aware of that through my co-op or anything, but I'll definitely look into that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
When do you need a decision on the money?
Obviously the board can discuss it this evening. It would probably be a recommendation I'd bring forward at the next board meeting on the 28th. I'd probably put forward a proposal for a resolution for the prices to rise by the quarter unless the board felt otherwise. Obviously, there'd be a financial impact to the general fund at year's end to make up the difference of the shortfall. You know, because the program has been self-sufficient, I sent out those five-year numbers. You know, obviously, revenues are going down, but so is enrollment. That's why I tie it out to the revenue per pupil, which has been pretty static over the last 5 years. It hasn't changed by more than $10. So that's been pretty steady. But with that ban and the minimum wage increase, we think a quarter is going to be necessary. Now, it's not to say that at this time next year, we might not say that we need a dime or a nickel for the following year. It'll start to plateau off now that, you know, we've got this new cost with the styrofoam and the plastics ban. And once the minimum wage plateaus off, the program should be stationary. But we might need a few little bumps to get us back in line with surrounding districts to cover all those costs.
Okay, we have two questions. First one, Dorothy, then Bill.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. I have a question about the clean label items. You said that you were going to start implementing some of those. Do you have like an example of what those would be?
The first company that made themselves available to us as a co-op, we purchased through a purchasing co-op, is a company that does pizza, so various types of pizza, pizza sticks, pizza nuggets, what they call. So their ingredient label is about 6 items long. That's it. There's no preservatives in it.
Has anybody tasted them?
I have. Okay. I don't bring anything in here that I haven't sampled myself. I have, and it's actually a very, very good product.
Okay. And then as far as the breakfast, what are we doing now on the elementary and the secondary level for breakfast? Because I know in the past they did, I think, like bagels or pretzels with cheese, something like that. Are they still doing that?
I've taken away the pretzels and cheese. I don't like that as a choice for breakfast. We do some breakfast sandwiches. We do waffles. We do pancakes, all whole grain items. They do bagels once a week. We have yogurt parfaits. Everything comes with fruit. We have different varieties of fruit, fresh and cupped fruit every day, and milk. And that's across all of the grade levels. So, and breakfast is $1.50 for all grade levels.
Okay. And just another question. As far as the, you know, you always hear the students, they'll make comments, good and bad, about the school lunches on the elementary school level and the secondary level. And I know we have healthy things, and I saw the presentation. But was there any thought, or did you ever do any type of survey with the students as far as what they like, don't like, what they maybe want more of, or the presentation? Or, you know, I hear different things, like maybe towards the end of the week, sometimes they run out of deli meats, and especially if you have like lunch 7th period on a Friday, say. Have you ever done a survey with the students?
I do a survey several times a year. I have students, interns from the graduate program at LIU Post with me several times throughout the year, and that's one of their big projects. So any intern that comes in here works with me, and we do surveys. So what I hear most often is that they want takeout pizza and they want fast food. That's
right.
Really what what they say.
Right.
That's the answer.
Same
that
thing
we
wanted.
Yeah.
Right. How are the surveys actually implemented? Are they done with paper? They put it in front of the student?
It's
done online?
No, it's a paper. It's a paper survey that they make up, and we go into the lunchroom and we hand them out and we collect them.
So it's anonymous, though, right?
Yes.
Do it?
Yeah, there's no names.
Have they ever thought about maybe doing it electronically through, I don't know, SurveyMonkey or something like that?
I can absolutely have them do that this year. I have my first interns coming in October.
Yeah, my only thought would be, I know that during lunchtime, a lot of times the kids are, they have to go through quick, you know, and they, I don't know if they want to take the time to do a survey, or, you know, all their friends are around too, and they might not want to write something, you know, on the paper. Just a thought.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. It was very good. Just a few questions. One about the lunch trays moving over to the recycled paper trays. And I know we had a presentation by a student earlier in the year about this very thing. And one of the things that came up was, why is it that we can't go back to washable trays like they used to use years ago? Is there a sanitary reason, or is it not cost effective?
We don't have the time. The lunch periods, everybody moves through quickly, and the amount of trays that we have to have, they come through the dishwasher. We don't have enough to have one for everybody, so they do have to cycle through the dishwasher after each round of students come in. They all have to be dried because it doesn't dry it in enough time. You know, a full drying cycle is 40 minutes, so it can't dry, and it just, we found that they were throwing them in the garbage. We found them in the garbage more often than not. And in a survey, children prefer to eat off what they call a plate rather than a tray. We've done some research into that, and that's really the main reason is the washing and the time factor. Mm-hmm. In elementary schools, when the kids are coming through now, they're getting 20 minutes or so. There's not enough time to wash.
Would it be cost effective if we had enough of those trays and figured out a way to wash them? Would we say, I mean, a $75,000 hit we're going to take on this. So I'm just curious if we have any sense of what those numbers are. If you don't, I'm not looking to press
them. Well, you'd also have to buy dishes and everything else, too, because you
know. No, I mean trays that, like, years ago, they have slots in the tray.
Oh, it's a plastic those type
tray
of trays.
And the food.
I'm remembering trays that I used to have a plate and a knife
no.
and a fork.
None of that. Just the tray with partition sections.
Partitions.
A melamine tray. Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would just like to know what the numbers are on that, just out of curiosity, if it works.
Do any of the kitchens still have dishwashers that could hold that capacity?
Grundy uses them specifically. And some of the other, it depends on the meal. If it's a meal that's not overly popular where everybody's buying it, then sometimes they will use them because the schools still do have some of the trays. Those trays run about $3.25 a piece. Those melamine trays.
Right. And but they're you use them again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to, of course, factor in the dishwashing.
Of course, right.
What
that
costs.
Labor and everything else.
I mean, $75,000 a year, year after year, that just seems expensive to me. My other question was about the vegetables. Do you have to place the vegetables on the student's tray even when they don't want them?
We're not permitted to place anything on the tray. It's an offer versus serve is how it works. So it's got to be offered. It's not placed on their tray. So they have to take either a fruit or a vegetable in order for it to be counted as a reimbursable meal. So we have several different options. There's salad offered every day. There's different vegetables. There's fruits. So we encourage them strongly, but we don't place anything on their tray.
So a student cannot take the vegetables?
They can. They're trained from elementary students, though, that they have to have a fruit or a vegetable, and we have very little resistance.
And I'm just curious then, as a result of that, and this is just the point of my own curiosity, do we have, and I know you don't survey this or anything of that sort, I'm sure, but do you have any sense of how much of that goes in the trash?
A lot of it. A lot of it.
Yeah.
But and that has been something that the School Nutrition Association has spoken to this Department of Education about specifically, and they've done studies on it. And they understand it, and they acknowledge it, but they won't change it.
Yes. So that brought up a point. When my children went to Grundy, our PTA would volunteer to be breakfast parents. And that meant that we kind of watch the kids, see what they're doing. And there would, without fail, always be children that were going to throw away almost the entire meal or part of the meal. A lot of unopened containers would make their way to the garbage. So we implemented where we asked the children, we made a big announcement, and we asked them if you have something that you are not going to eat, that you haven't touched, if it's in a container, please put it up on the stage. And then all the other children who maybe were a little bit hungry or didn't get enough, they were welcome to just come and grab it. And so you'd have kids getting some of that. Is there any way that we could kind of implement something like that?
Suffolk County Department of Health frowns upon that. If we can make it work, they are willing to say, all right, you could give it a try and report back to us. Waverly actually did that this year. They had a sharing table, and it did not work out. And things were thrown away. Things sat there. Nobody was collecting them. Milk sat out for more than 2 hours, and it didn't work. So you have to have somebody, a dedicated person at that table collecting the items and handing the items out and time stamping everything. So if there's an aide or a volunteer that would do that, I would absolutely love to do that. I hate to see things go in the garbage.
So luckily we happen to have, and I'm just going to put it right on the spot now, but we happen to have our president of our Sage and PTA here. Love you, Beth. So maybe would you be willing to, perhaps if the PTAs of all the schools would work with you guys to implement something like that?
Absolutely.
Okay. We'll follow.
Okay, Alex?
I just have a quick question. I know you just acknowledged that the kids are throwing out a lot of food. How much food are you guys throwing out as a whole? About?
Stuff that we're not using? You mean at the end of the week?
Is there a percentage of food that gets thrown out at the end of each day?
At the end of each day, they are pretty, the cooks are pretty savvy with this. They keep books and they keep records and they know how many to prepare. They know how many salads to prepare. Certain foods can be held over and used the second day. They cook per period, so they don't cook 300 meals at the beginning of the day and then hopefully serve them. They cook as the periods go along so they can adjust. So there really is very little waste.
OK,
Okay, that's it. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, approval of the minutes. May I please have a motion? Bill, second. Meredith, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Allison, do we have any visitors? Okay. Business items, consent agenda, A through B. May I please have a motion? Larry, second. Alex, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Number four, personnel, consent agenda, A through V. May I please have a motion? Jimmy, second. Bill, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Dr. Graham?
Yeah, if you don't mind, I believe we have a number of new employees who were just appointed. For those of you who are following along, I know that was a large consent, right? So we just blew over about eight pages. But I just wanted to welcome our new employees. I believe we have some teachers and teaching assistants here this evening. If you don't mind just standing. Yeah. And we certainly want to welcome you all to the district and remind you that as you went through a very rigorous hiring process, you saw that this is a very warm place. That's the feedback that I get from every individual who goes through the hiring process here, that people are generally welcoming. You can see that people here care very deeply about our communities, and they care very deeply about our students. And so now all of you who were just appointed have that great responsibility on your shoulders, and we look forward to watching you in your careers and here in Sachem. So congratulations.
Congratulations. Welcome to Sachem. We're now on page 10, personnel, consent agenda, A through I. May I please have a motion? Larry, second. Bill, any questions? All in favor? Motion is carried. We're now on page 14, consent agenda, A through D. May I please have a motion? Alex, second. Bill, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. We're now on page 15, contracts, consent agenda, A through O. May I please have a motion? Bill, second. Meredith, any questions? Dorothy.
John, for, it's under C, I believe it's T&D Sports Video Productions. For something like that, for contracts like that, this is district-wide, right?
Yes, this is a contract that the athletic department enters into.
So does this go out for bid?
This is done via an RFP.
It is. Okay. That was my question.
Yeah.
Thank
there's
you.
A couple of different firms that actually do the videotaping for us.
Is this is some company we've used before?
Yes.
Tony, do you know of him? Sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yeah.
We also use Misty Mountain, and I think there's one other.
Yes.
Okay.
I know we've definitely used T&D at least one.
Yeah, they're all similarly priced. They charge about $117 a game. This particular contract is for 40 specific games. They do football, lacrosse, field hockey, and soccer, 10 of each pretty much. And then the other sports are as-needed basis.
Okay.
Okay, Alex, you have a question?
John, just a quick question. Not on this one, but the one that we got. It said that football got 10 games, basketball got 10 games. Now, that covers the football season, but basketball, that's only half the season. Is there a reason you came up with that number?
That comes from athletics. I'd have to look into that for
okay.
you.
Just wondering.
Any other questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. We're now on page 19, the Committee on Special Education, Consent Agenda, A through B. May I please have a motion? Bill, second. Meredith, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
Ms. Slattery, I believe
yes.
we have to go back to number 8, action items. I think we missed that one.
Okay.
On page
Sorry,
19.
We did, and you have it highlighted. Thank you, Allison. Number 8, action items, approval of field trip for the 2019-20 school year. May I please have a motion? Meredith, second. Larry, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, Dr. Grant.
Sorry, I don't want to make Ms. Slattery lose her spot, but I did want to mention we also have someone here this evening who's getting a promotional position. I think Loretta's here, right? No? Maureen? Sorry. Maureen is here? Yeah. Maureen, congratulations on your promotional position. And that was already acted on, so congratulations.
Congratulations. So I believe, Allison, we're on 10 monthly reports.
Yes.
Board committee reports. It's the summer, so I don't think there's anything. Okay. So since we're in this section, we'll talk about committees. Jim, you're on.
Well, before we talk about committees, I want to make a motion to amend the agenda format to add a section called Board Discussion, with subsections indicating the topics to be discussed. So just amend our current agenda to include that. So I'm making a motion.
Okay. Well, do we have a second for Jim's motion? Dorothy, all in favor? Or any questions on that? We've always had like a future discussion item, but this will be a separate discussion, and then we can put anything that we want to discuss
right.
as the subsection.
For example, tonight it would say board discussion, and it would say subsection A, committees.
Great.
So
all in favor?
Everybody out there knows tonight we're going to talk about
committees. Can I just, you know, before we yes. move on that, I just want to make sure that I have a good understanding of that, okay? So currently we have a section that says future board discussions, right?
Right.
And what the resolution, I believe, is could we make that an additional section that would say board
discussion? An additional section.
Yes.
Yeah, don't get rid of that.
Could say board discussion tonight would be committee.
I mean, could theoretically that section just say board discussion of any items, including future items? In other words, does it require a separate section? Or
I just think it's easy to read if it's a separate section. Okay. But it's up to the board. I think it's better to have a separate section, board discussion, and then whatever items on that particular agenda we're going to discuss,
and
everybody
then when
sees it.
We would have a section for future items, and then the future items
we'll discuss, and then
that can be added to the discussion items for the following weekend.
Right.
Allison?
Yeah.
Okay. So any other questions? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Motion is carried. So since we're on the committee reports, we can discuss the committees now. So, Jim.
Okay. The first thing to make clear is that my opinion of committees has nothing to do with lessening or negating the value of community participation in our process. So let's make that clear and up front.
I just want to interject one
Go
second.
Ahead.
In our board folder, Dr. Graham has given us a handout on committees, just so everybody has it. Oh.
I think what's taken place over the years is that the focus and direction of committees is kind of all over the place. In fact, in a lot of committees, there is no focus or direction at all. Some committees never even meet. So now this isn't about every committee, because there are some standalone committees that are in there by law, and they do meet, and they're not there to give opinions or recommendations or anything. They have, like the audit committee, okay? And I think the legislative committee is another one that just it has nothing to do with my opinion of what I'm about to say, okay? Get that? Okay. I think what's happened over the past is that we start putting committees together, and we're using them as a board to try to weigh the opinions of the community on how they feel about certain things. That's not the focus of a committee. Never should have been. It has been. It never should have been. When people have an avenue to express their opinions about any issue at all that comes up, the two that come to mind right away is an old one, and that was the old Reconfiguration Committee, which was a committee of 200 people with 200 opinions and all kinds of crazy things going on, and that the board had to make decisions, split 5-4, and created a schism in the entire district. Why? Because the committee came up with recommendations. The Facilities Committee to close schools, and I mentioned it to you, Laura, before. There were people that walked into that committee with hardcore advocacy on I'm not closing a middle school. I'm not closing this particular elementary school. Now, that I can understand, and they have a right to that opinion. But if they have an eight personality and they're on a committee that this board is relying on to get data and facts from, it's going to be skewed. And we're going to make not good decisions. So what I'm saying is we've got three policies that cover committees. I'm saying let's, and it's a simple fix, let's just amend two of those policies. The last one, 6690, has to do with the audit committee, and as we just, I just mentioned, that doesn't have to be touched. That's kind of a standalone. But the other policies, 2250, my recommendation is to, on 2250, is delete the last two sentences. The last two sentences say, any official policy-level action shall be deemed, shall be in the sole discretion of the board. That's not necessary, because that's exactly what we do. And then the next sentence is, the board in no way is obligated to follow committee recommendations. The board has the right to accept, reject, or modify all or any part of committee recommendations. I don't want committees making recommendations. I want committees giving me data. I want committees giving me facts. I want committees giving me research of other districts. That's what, as a board, that's the information I need. I don't need somebody who I believe may have been an advocate for a certain position coming to the board and giving me that position. I don't know if I'm making myself clear.
Jim, I'm a little confused. So the last two sentences that you said were the
board.
Yeah,
I read three instead of two.
Well, it's the last paragraph, I guess, right?
Yeah, the first sentence I read, that means nothing.
So you're saying that you want to keep that paragraph in or you want to take that out?
I want to take that out. Because the word, I want to remove the word recommendation from any committee policy.
But it says that the board is in no way obligated to follow a committee recommendation.
I know, and you know what happens when we don't follow a recommendation?
So that kind of covers what you're trying to say, right?
I understand that. No, no, it doesn't. What happens is the committee makes a recommendation. And we don't certainly have to agree to a recommendation. I know that. The point is then it becomes, why was I even on this committee? They don't listen to me anyway. What a waste of time. I wasted 6 months on this committee and the board went the other way. And that's our fault. Not the person's fault.
But when we have a committee that starts and we say when we're closing schools and we have the facilities committee, isn't there something said to those members when they get there to say, listen, you're going to do some of the research, you're going to give us a recommendation, we're not sure what recommendations that we're going to take as a board. So do they know that prior?
Yeah, but just the way you said it is exactly the way I don't want them told to run that committee.
But they know prior that they could come up with eight different scenarios.
Absolutely. I'm not blaming the committees for what I'm saying at all.
But they are told that when they're on that committee.
Yes. Yes. But I'm not, like I say, it's confusing to them. I've joined committees myself with opinions as an advocate for certain positions. It's not right. That's not where I should be right at that desk telling you board members how I feel about something. If I'm going to do it on the committee, I'm going to skew my data to go along with my opinion.
So what's your suggestion then?
My suggestion is to eliminate the word recommendation. So the committee knows when they're put together, they have this is the charge. The board is going to charge you with collecting all the data and research available on whatever you want to say, armed guards, whatever it is, whatever the issue is that we put the committee together for, that they know that they're being put together for data collection and research and give us all the facts they come up with, not an opinion or an advocacy for a certain position. That's why I think if you take the word recommendation out of these policies, you're pretty much covered, because then when we do direct the committee to do something, we're going along with the policy. We're not asking them to make a recommendation.
So what would you rather it say?
It could say just what it says without those last two sentences. Everything else is fine.
I guess I personally would need time just to review that. So,
why would that correct the problem, Jim, by removing those last two sentences?
Because if I'm going to join a committee, if I'm going to join a committee, and the policy of that committee is it wants me to make a recommendation because it says so in my policy, that's the way I'm going to go into the committee with. I'm going to go in there with what I want to do is recommend my opinion to the board.
Right. I'm still confused. I guess maybe Dorothy is as well. I'm just curious, where is it that you're getting their tasked with making recommendations in that policy?
By saying we could, by just saying that we do not have to accept your recommendation.
By saying that it's implied that they may make them recommendations.
I see it.
I would simply say that in all my years of serving on various committees and working with people in government who served on committees, I've almost never seen a committee that doesn't make recommendations. And the reason that is usually is because you're asking people to take part in a task. And then, in essence, what it seems you would be asking them to do is say, suspend all of the knowledge you've gained and the things that you've learned, and don't tell us anything you've learned from that.
That's not
correct. Figure it out as a result.
No, that's
but
not
at the same time, this policy as it is says we don't have to abide by any of their recommendations, which solves that problem, I think.
That's not accurate. But I don't agree with what you're saying, that you by eliminating you – if you're telling somebody not to make a recommendation, you're eliminating them from using all their experience and expertise to put together data for the board. That's not what that says. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that.
They can put together data. That's not an issue. But you're asking them to do something.
And then stop short of taking all the information that they've accessed and maybe telling us something that they've learned from it that we have not learned from it.
Well,
and that could be a valuable thing, I would say. And I don't see the harm personally in that. So I'm curious what the harm is.
Well, all I could do is go by experience, and I've sat on a number of committees, and I've sat there on committees that were the sole purpose of being on that committee was to skew the information for their advocacy. And then these school boards had to go there and either reject their recommendations when they say – and then, of course, it's why was I even on this committee in the first place? They don't listen to me. Or start a war between board members on accepting or rejecting that recommendation.
You would have board members who may do that very well.
Yeah, but board members, that's...
You could have somebody who runs for the board and specifically gets friends to run for the board specifically for a specific reason.
I understand that.
So
I can't control the board.
Human nature is human nature.
I can't control the board. What I'm trying to do is create a policy, a change. You know, I can't control what you just said. That happens.
Right.
That's nature. But I can control this.
It's
my committee, not mine. It's our committee.
But I would like to see what other, like I said to you, Smithtown does one of the best committees I've ever seen. They've done the Community Housing Alliance. That's how they've closed schools in Smithtown. It's a group of administrators, community members, board members who work together, report to the board, make recommendations to the board, and it's worked very well there. So I would like to, we happen to have a principal who's vice president. We have a principal here in Sachem who's vice president of the Smithtown School Board, who I've gone to on numerous times when I've asked as to how they've done things. I'd like to sit and talk to him about how that committee works and why their committee works better than, like you said, our facilities committee, where we had board members plant certain people because they wanted. So it wasn't really the people on the committee
that had agendas.
It was the board members who put people on the committees because they didn't want middle school
schools. But it wasn't just board members.
Well,
there were people on those committees that weren't.
Right.
Plants. They were there with their own opinions.
Okay.
I think the most valuable resource we have is having a committee comprised of, take me for example, I'm just a mom. I am the least educated person on this entire board. If it was not for me serving on committees, if it wasn't for me listening to people in this community who have served on committees, I never would have ran for the Board of Education. And I ran for the Board of Education because I value every child in this district. They're all equivalent. They're all equal. They don't all have none of them has any difference to me in any way.
I'm not arguing with that. I don't see how that's part of this.
Because when we take a committee, and that committee has teachers and principals, administration, board members, regular old plain everyday people, the more difference of opinion you get, yes, because you're more diverse in your committee. And the more diverse your committee is, yeah, you're going to have a million different opinions, but what makes sense is what's going to be the recommendation.
And then it's up to
it's
the
based
board
on facts
to accept it or not accept it. I still don't see, because you and I had a bad experience on a facilities committee, where that should say we should eliminate all recommendations from boards. Like, I'm not convinced that because of my experience on that, and I had the same experience you did, that I wouldn't want to look and see what other districts have before just saying, oh, I don't want any committee ever in SACHM to ever make a recommendation.
Well, with all due respect, I'm just making a conversation now. I don't think I've said it's do or die right now. So by all means, check with other districts.
I would just say, Jim, I'll cede the point to you that people come onto committees and they clearly have agendas. And I would also state that that's human nature. And I don't see how you're possibly going to get away from that. And if you want them just to deliver data and facts, I can tell you right now, I can get any person I want to seek out the data and facts they want to prove the position that they want. And they'll just find a backdoor way to do that. So I'd rather it be above board and they make their recommendations, and I'll be the person up here who says, I don't like your recommendation.
Do I bother going to the next policy? Because it's the same thing.
Going, and then we'll have
Well, it's the same thing. I want to eliminate recommendations from 2260 as well.
Okay. So the Citizens Advisory.
So rather than rehash the whole thing all over again.
Okay. So you would like to eliminate that also. Does anybody else have any other comments?
I don't know how the other board members do.
Is it something that we could table and talk about next time?
Would you like to table it and look into it? Larry?
Yep.
Meredith? Okay, Dorothy?
Sure.
Bill?
Well,
Jimmy?
We're not actually tabling it. We're just going to put it on at the future agenda.
Future discussion item.
Okay.
Correct.
Can I just also say that for the board in front of you, I provided you with a listing of all the committees that we currently have that are active. So you have the Audit Committee, which is required by statute. That's Policy 6690. Budget Advisory Committee is an advisory committee. That's our Policy 2260. We currently have a Curriculum Committee, which is not governed by policy in SACHM. It is a district committee that we started. We have a Health and Safety Committee, which is required by statute. The Legislative, which is an advisory committee, that's Policy 2260. The Policy Committee, which is a board committee, that's 2250. And the District's Wellness Committee, again, that's not a committee that's governed by policy. That's something that we started from the district end. So within that chart that I provided to the board, it gives you the current composition, whether or not that committee has a facilitator or a chair, who the district liaison is to that, so if it's myself or one of the assistant superintendents, deputy superintendent, and what the purpose of that committee is as currently constructed. I think when we look at the committees, certainly the purpose is something that we need to define better for some of those committees. If you remember and for those of you new to these meetings, my first year there was a conversation 3 years ago about budget advisory and what the purpose of the budget advisory committee is. It was that committee ever meeting, and that's something that we worked over the past year and a half to define a little bit better and put some more parameters on. So that might be one direction to go. So the second page of the handout that I gave all of you has a list of the committees and then potential suggestions, perhaps a place for you to put some of your thoughts on those committees. And then certainly if the board's going to discuss this at future meetings, that might be a good place to record some of your thoughts and then bring those back to the table. I also provided the board with a description of all the committees that we have and whether or not they're governed by statute, by policy, or their district implemented. So if you need any additional information from me, from the board, just let me know, and I'll get you whatever I can to help facilitate that conversation on committees.
Okay. And Jim, just to I'm not trying to be adversarial, but like with the legislative committee, so last year they made recommendations to us when we were going for approval of the Smart Schools Bond, like what to do, should we reach out to different things. They came up with ideas after meeting, let's contact these representatives, let's contact these legislators, let's reach out to Doug Smith, let's do robocalls, letters. So those were recommendations that the legislative committee made to the board that then we, you know, agreed to as far as having our students write letters or different things. So you're saying to eliminate anything like that from any of the committees?
Wanted to eliminate it from the policies. If you want to direct the board, as you just said, if you want to direct a committee, like the Legislative Committee on Smart Schools, you want to direct a committee to come up with ideas and make recommendations, this board certainly has the right to direct them to do that. If they're directed to do that, so be it. I'm just saying,
right,
by policy, they're automatically doing recommendations. By policy. As Bill said, it's implied. No, it's implied by saying we don't have to accept their recommendation. It's implied that we want one, or they're going to give us one, or they may give us one. But no, Laura, they can, if we direct them to give us a recommendation, that's fine. I'm not against that. If the board wants to do that, that's fine. But it should be, you know, it shouldn't just be general policy. It should be committee and issue oriented.
Can I ask if? If we do take that word out of there, what do you feel would make? What do you feel would be different? Like,
well, that was what Bill was saying. Bill doesn't see it, and Dorothy doesn't see it. You don't see it. I see it as by taking that word out, anybody that read that policy on a particular committee would see that nothing in there is indicative is that they're going to go on to that committee to make a recommendation. Now, if they're directed by the board to make a recommendation, so be it. But just by reading that policy, they don't see it because the word's gone.
But, Jim, what you're saying is when they go in there, they're going to see that it says that they can make a recommendation, right? That's why you want to take it out, because in the policy
that's right.
It says
that's that, right, because the policy sees it's
so
in the
So they're reading it, and they're seeing in there that it says recommendation.
Correct.
So they're also, if they're going to read it, they're also going to read that we're not going to take their recommendation necessarily. So if they're reading that paragraph, they're reading both those things, that even though they're going to make a recommendation, we have the right not to take that recommendation, right?
No, I'm confused now.
Well, what you're saying is that they're reading that paragraph to say that they can make a recommendation to the
board. Right, implied, like Bill says. It's implied by us saying we don't have to accept your recommendation.
Correct. But it says that we don't have to take it.
Correct.
So that kind of, not that it saves us, but it gives us that flexibility.
Well, let me put it a different way. Is there a harm in taking it out? I know that's kind of a silly argument. Maybe it's not based on facts, but what's the harm in taking it out?
I don't know if there's a harm in taking it out. I think it's maybe for that committee to give them more direction on, like Bill said, if you're telling them they're just going in for data, to do research and data.
Yeah, but you're not telling that, Dorothy, by policy.
Anybody can skew that, too.
Yeah, but we're not telling that by policy. You know, that's a direction the board would give them. The policy should be general and open-ended, but it shouldn't have – just take the word recommendation out of there. It isn't telling them what to do, collect data only. I'm not rewriting the policy.
Got it. I guess that goes back to what Meredith just asked. If you don't want the word recommendation, what word are you proposing, or how would you like to reword that, I guess?
Just take the sentences out.
Chris,
I don't want to reword the policy at all.
Right. We're tabling.
Let's table.
So if you could just ask Marianne, because she's been helping us with policies
One of the things I was going to suggest is that, you know, I'm not looking to insert myself into a board argument by any stretch of the imagination. It's entirely between you to make those decisions as to how, you know, you choose your governance vehicle, which is the policies. But, you know, we could certainly work with you in attempting to, you know, reword a policy that satisfies the concerns that everybody has. And perhaps there's a way to say that, you know, I hear some folks, as I listen to the discussion from here, are concerned that if you took that out, it might leave somebody with the impression that, you know, the board is bound by their recommendation.
Right.
And you like having that disclaimer that, let me make it clear, you know, almost to, it's the opposite side of the coin, feeling the same way Jim does, that we want to make sure that the committee doesn't have a sense that they can dictate to the board what it should do. So a concern about taking it out lest they do the thing that Jim's concerned that they would do, you know, perhaps you could embed in some other place in the policies of concern or that are under discussion some language that talks about the charge shall come from the board, and the board, you know, recommendations will only come in the direction, you know, what they're charged to do and what they're charged to bring back to the board is at the discretion of the board at the outset.
Right.
So that everybody who decides to participate in one of those committees understands that they have a clear charge that is subject to the charge that the board directs them. Again, this is something we can discuss and flesh out together in policy a bit.
In the policy committee, so as we've been working on updating all our policies, Marianne has gotten us, because some of our policies are from 1995, right. So the language, even on these policies, Jim, I 100% agree with you, the language sometimes in our policies now has nothing to do with the way our current committee structure is.
Maybe
Marianne can
talk to Marianne about putting those policies up to the top for earlier review, discussion,
right.
And
so we could see what policies
suggestion.
Other districts, that's what she does.
And taking
she
into
takes,
account all the discussion right. that you've had either tonight or at the next meeting right. so that policy can take some direction from the board as to some of the concerns that you wish to address and flesh them out a little bit. And again, you know, you're not required to do an immediate first reading. You could always have the policy come back, some proposed draft for a discussion item, and say, hey, you know, how does this work? How does this sound to everybody? Does this change satisfy those who are concerned that taking it out would leave the committee with the impression that Jim's concerned about the other things? And you could reconcile those concerns and perhaps, yeah, at the same time, address some of the archaic language that you think needs to be remediated anyway. So maybe just put this to the top of the pile for.
That would be great if you can just let Marianne know.
Sure.
I appreciate it. Okay. Anything else?
No.
No. Okay. So closing, Allison, any visitors? Okay. So we already did the discussion. Any other future agenda items? Anybody? No?
It's summer.
Okay. Our next meeting is going to be August 28th at 7:30 p.m. And now I would like to make a motion to go into executive session to discuss matters relating to particular students, collective negotiations, legal advice regarding pending litigation, the sale or lease of real property, and confidential matters relating to the school safety plan. May I please have a motion? Alex, second. Meredith. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the rest of summer, and we'll see you next time.